From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns welcoming you to Let the Bible Speak as we continue our study of the law of God. For a number of weeks, due to a prolonged period of overseas preaching engagements, I'll not be commenting on the topics of interest that I have been covering day by day. That will give us longer each day for the Bible study, and given the vastness of the subjects we're covering, that's probably a very good thing. So stay tuned for today's study as we consider the subject of the spirituality of God's law. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Servants of God, your master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name, the name of victorious of Jesus extol. His kingdom is glorious, he rules over.
We're going to read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. We should read the whole passage from verse 20 to 48, but as time is moving very quickly, we're going to read verse 20 through 29 of, or should I say 30, of Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 to 30. Of Matthew chapter 5. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees,
ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. We'll finish our reading at verse 30, and the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. There is a text of Scripture in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, and in the 14th verse, that I think more than adequately sums up the entire Bible reading in Matthew chapter 5. The apostle says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. But we know that the law is spiritual. Human self-righteousness is truly an amazing thing. It's as unblushing as it is universal. A little child needs absolutely no training to act the part of the innocent, or to blame its wrongdoing on someone else. And as we grow older, that is an ability that we never lose. For all of us by nature, it's a very natural thing to evade the responsibility of our sins, to measure ourselves by other people, to shift the blame of our own wrongdoing onto others, sometimes to make others feel bad for their wrongdoing, and in some way thereby to shield ourselves from accusation about our own. Indeed, we even compliment ourselves on a moral goodness that is entirely imaginary, and we even expect God to reward us on that imaginary basis. Every one of us has lived through what I can only call a cultural and an ethical revolution that has made old-fashioned immorality acceptable in America. shame is almost a forgotten thing in this country. And certainly, it appears to be an entirely forgotten thing in the public life of this country. We have just been treated to yet another filthy scandal coming right out of the White House. What is the result? After a couple of days of hiding and a lot of eulogizing in the public press, a fornicator, an adulterer, a liar, and a twister is now the recipient of a multi-million dollar publishing deal. Such is the desire of the American public for every salacious and filthy detail of perverted lies that shame seems to be a thing of the past. And yet in this age of almost untrammeled wickedness, people have the gall to sound shocked and hurt at the very thought that perhaps God may be angry with them. If you want to prove the accuracy of that observation, you try suggesting that AIDS is a divine judgment on sodomy and the sodomite community. And you will find that the public censure, the opprobrium that is not visited upon the sodomite, will very quickly be visited on you. You see, the truth is that by nature man is a very self-righteous sinner. And he doesn't face up to the reality and the nature of his sin very well. He has believed the lie that even God really doesn't have much reason to be displeased with him. I say the lie, because despite all the vaporings of religious liberals and rationalists, it is a lie. People who have never faced up to the enormity of their sin in the sight of a holy God would need to pay attention and give an ear to God's law. That's why during these Sabbath evenings we are taking time to study the subject of the law of God. People who have no deep consciousness of sin would need to stand at Mount Sinai and hear God's thundering forth of the proclamation of the law. And then they would need to come to the New Testament and stand at Mount Calvary and see God's evidence of the penalty of the law. In effect, in the Bible reading that we did tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ set about the task of making people face up to the true meaning of the law of God. That's why we read this passage. It's a very vital passage of Scripture, never more so than in the age in which we live. If I could sum up what the Savior is saying in Matthew chapter 5, He comes to you and me as He did to the people of His own day, and He says, do not let the well-known phrases of the law dull your conscience. You have grown up listening to the wording of the Ten Commandments. There is an old saying that familiarity breeds contempt. Do not allow the familiarity that you have made with the wording of the law to dull your conscience to the true meaning of God's law. Do not hide behind a superficial regard for God's law. The Lord Jesus says, in effect, I have come to make you face the full force of the holy, just, and good law of God. Listen to me very carefully tonight. No man who is unwilling to face the full force of the law of God is willing to have God's grace in the gospel as it is offered to him in Christ. Christ comes. And he says, in effect, if you are not willing to face the full force of God's law, you are deceiving yourself, and you will pay for that deception with the loss of your soul in the fires of God's hell for all eternity. That was the essential message of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. As you follow the preaching of his apostles, you'll discover that they preached the same truth. I have taken a text tonight from the writings of the Apostle Paul, Romans 7 and 14, in which he really sums up the message of our Bible reading. The law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. I want tonight, and it is my prayer before God, I want tonight every man and woman and young person in this meeting to memorize those few words. And I pray God that he will emblazon them unforgettably upon the fleshy tables of your heart, that he will write them upon your mind, that there will never again throughout your life be a day when you will forget. The law of God is spiritual. The doctrine of that statement can be very easily set forth in a simple sentence. The law of God searches to the depths of our soul, and it utterly destroys every vestige of self-satisfaction and self-righteousness. The law of God searches to the depths of our soul, and it destroys every vestige of self-satisfaction or self-righteousness. That is what theologians call the spirituality of the law of God. That's the subject that I want us to consider this evening. In doing so, I have a very few, very simple, but very, very far-reaching observations to make. First, the law of God is spiritual in its search of the soul. The book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." The commandment of God is a lamp. The law of God is like a searchlight in the soul. The Apostle Paul took this up in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 12. He says, "It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Let me stop for a moment. That statement is as true today as it was in the days of the Apostle. The fact that we live in a godless and shameless society does not change the truth of that statement from the Word of God. We live in a day when every filthy detail of every godless lifestyle is dragged forth. It becomes the titillating subject of talk shows. It is emblazoned in newspaper articles. It is carried on television and radio and in literature. But God says it is a shame that these things should even be talked about. But then he says, but all things that are reproved, everything that God condemns, he says they are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. God takes His holy law, and He beams it like a high-powered searchlight from heaven into every corner of the soul. The law is spiritual in its search of the soul. The law shines the light of absolute truth into every part of the life. It regulates our behavior. That is the clear object of God's law. God says, thou shalt, and thou shalt not. That is the true regulator of our actions. The question is not what is fashionable. The question is not what is acceptable to man. The question is not even what is legal in the eyes of men. The question is not what is easy. The question is not what is profitable in the short term. What is going to gain me more of this world's acclaim or this world's wealth. The question is, what does the law of God command? This moral law of God is the permanent regulator of our behavior. My friend, you do well to remember that, and so do I. You do well to bring your behavior this evening, not to compare it with somebody else's, not to see how well it fits in with the mindset of this ungodly age. But bring your behavior and put it side by side with the tables of the permanent law of God. And see what God's law has to say about what you're doing. But the law regulates a lot more than your actions. The law regulates our thoughts, our desires, and our motives. The hidden springs of the mind and of the heart. This is very clear from the words we read in Matthew chapter 5. The Lord Jesus in this passage was not adding to the law of Moses. He was not even making the law of Moses stricter or more severe. There are many people who make that assumption, and it's a very false assumption. The Lord Jesus was rather showing what the true meaning of the law of Moses was and always had been and always will be. You see, the Pharisees had, to use a big word, they had externalized God's law and human obedience to it. They had the law of God, and they had it so neatly set out that by doing this and doing that and doing the other thing, they could pride themselves, we have obeyed the law. They could say, look at our actions. Our actions are so lawful. Our actions are so much in keeping with what Moses commanded. They prided themselves, but the Lord Jesus repudiated that external obedience with a heart that was still unclean. He was saying, I will not be deceived by mere appearances. Remember what the Lord said to Samuel? Man looketh on the outward appearance. Where does God look? The Lord looketh on the heart.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.